whole to me. Now, I'm from the South. I can talk like that. Y'all are Northern Kentucky. I don't know how good y'all can talk. But, man, something got a hold of me a while back, the end of May, before we went up to Yankee Land in Michigan for the first week in June, and it still had a hold to me when I got up there, and it ain't turned loose yet, and I don't want to ever see it turn loose. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. I've got 11:23. How long do I have up here? Tell me. Till 12, and then they're gone. Yeah, they got to beat the Methodists down there to the restaurants. I'm serious about this. Let me say something that my wife and I, we do devotions differently. I sit over there, I read my Bible, and I'm doing a certain thing. She's reading hers, and my wife never went to Bible college. She went to Wichita Baptist University with Mike Huckabee at Southern Baptist School. And yeah, and dated every single boy up there too. So, but anyway, that's another story. She came, generally speaking, I need some amen and some help here. Generally speaking, in the morning when I get up, I don't want no one to talk to me till I've had my coffee. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I said, I want my coffee. I don't want to be disturbed. Don't bother me. But my wife is, good morning, dear. So you got to learn to say it back, morning, honey. You know, you just do that. And I've been going through some struggles with some things on top of that, and Lord lead me. And that morning, I was really being kind of down. I've been having a few health difficulties. Right now, the Lord has blessed me with shingles. And all of you guys that's been coming up and patting me on the back on the right side, thank you. And now I'm in the after pains. How many of y'all had after pains with your shingles? Did you have them, brother? I've got something called PHN. And it would literally, if I hit them, and this has been about 6 days ago I was having them, 7 days ago, I would be on that floor wiggling around for 3 to 7 minutes. In pain, I mean, uncontrolled, like I've been shot. And then it's over with. And you'd think there'd be a pool of blood there, a hole in you or something, but no, it's nothing. It's these stupid nerves. So, you know, God bless us. I was in all that stuff. I was very depressed. And my wife came in, and she had gotten up earlier, and she had a smile on her face like the cat that had done ate the canary, and I knew she got something. My wife's sitting over there doing devotions every morning, and she's doing something that I highly recommend that you don't do. She's got this A.W. Tozer book there amongst all of her other stuff. Don't read after that. He'll ruin your life. And some of y'all laugh and know what I'm talking about. And so, buddy, she had gotten something. God had given my wife something that morning. And she was about to, can you say bust it, or is it burst up here? You guys are correct English. She about busted. And, man, I could tell it was about to get blood and guts all over everybody, so I'd better say, yeah, go ahead. And I said, you know what, I need something this morning. I tell my wife had something, and my wife gave me this. She saw this. I didn't see this. And she saw this from one of my favorite books of the Bible that I preach from all the time, and a chapter that I preach from many times, and I'd never seen this, and she gave it to me, and, man, when she did, it started getting a hold to me. And we started looking at that, and I started reading those scriptures over again. And I mean, my goodness, Pastor, you know how it gets. And it's just, I see sermon stuff here, plus it's feeding my soul. And I got going through the W's, and man, I could alliterate it all, and it's right there. And I've been working it up, but I can't get past just the action of it. And I want to share with you today what my wife gave me from the Word of God. And I hope there's someone here that will get it today. I don't expect everybody to. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and that rock was Christ. And when that water came out, it watered millions of heads of cattle, millions of people, and it wasn't just a little trickle. He was a fountain that'll never run dry. Yeah. And it goes right along with what I'm going to talk about this morning. Let me tell you another story. Got to get my water here. They got me on medications, and I got dry mouth all the time, and then I drip. Then I drool. Medications are a wonderful thing. I'm also on gabapentin, so I'm on drugs. While I preached this morning, and my wife won't let me drive when I'm on drugs, and she don't like me. She's not here. I've got to confess, I'm the worst backseat driver you have ever seen. Either that or she's one of the worst drivers I've ever seen. When I went to visit Yaobi in Africa, we drove way out into the boonies to the village where he was born. And it's 4,000 or 5,000 people. No electricity. No running water. No facilities like we're used to of any kind. And we are going through the village, and there's one well in that village. And so when I went to Yaobi's place, by custom, it's an extended family living in an area with a courtyard that opens up that's about the size of this. And all their little huts are built around it, and they got little walls. And the village is a rabbit warren of these little extended families living together till they build this village. And his father at one time was the head man of that family. And his father's passed away. I saw his father's grave. So he has to, by custom, introduce me to everybody that's around before he can go see his mother. And so I'm being introduced. These are my cousins. These are my nephews. It's just down and down. Man, it's all over the place. Then he's introduced me to this woman, and when he walks in, he does this number. He bows down. I said, well, should I do that? No, Lord, whatever you do, don't do that. Because if you do this, they got to get lower, and then you're going to get lower, and then everybody's going to be on the floor. So don't do that because you're a guest, but I've got to do that because I'm here. So that's what they do. Now, this is tribal. This is not, you know, this is tribal stuff. And he's Ede, and so that's what they do. And so we're going around, and he introduces me to this woman. And afterwards, I'm saying, who's that? He said, well, that's my father's wife. I said, what about your mother? He said, oh, my father had four wives. Mm-hmm. And they lived in these houses, and his daddy lived in that house. And if you got four wives, I'd live in that house too. I don't understand Solomon, the wisest man in the world. That was stupid to have. Oh, well, I'm not supposed to say that word. My granddaughter said, ooh, you can't say that. Papa said the S word. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, but it is. So then we go from there to his mother's house. I'm starting to understand things a little bit more. And so I'm in there visiting, and this is a mud hut with a thatched roof. When you saw the picture of him and his family, that's in front of the hut he grew up in. And meager belongings on the inside, very meager, and there was a big clay pot holding probably about 10, 15 gallons of water, something like that. Yogi said that my job when I was a boy, from as little as he could remember, was to go to the well and keep that pot full. And then there was an outside pot that they washed other things in and the animals and stuff like that. Sometimes it would catch the rain. Of course, they're on the equator and it rains a lot. And his sister had that job, so she got the easy job because sometimes the rain filled it up. And you didn't have to worry about it being too clean. And Yaobi's water had to be from the well and clean and be drinkable. And, you know, we have lost sight of what it means to be able to go and just get a bottle of water and crack the top on it and you've got it. Or turn it on and you've got hot and you've got cold. Now, how many of you people here are like me? You're old enough to say, and maybe some of y'all young ones did it on a field trip because it looked cool. But how many of y'all have actually gone to a well and pumped a well pump? Anybody here? Oh, look at the hands. Oh, I forget. I'm in Kentucky. How many of y'all have shoes? If you have shoes, raise your hand. No, no, don't. Don't do that. I shouldn't have said that. Should have, Pastor. But if you've ever pumped a well, I'll get you one. How many of y'all have the wells out there pumped into a number two wash tub and taking a bath in the front yard.
Well, look at that.
There's some of y'all like me. And the first one gets in, and the water's clean. And the next one gets in, and by the time my baby brother got in, you couldn't tell if he had a bath or not. Water's very important. We've lost sight of how important water is. Just came from a meeting in Lenox, Tennessee. They're all farmers. They're small farmers. They, you know, like one guy only farms 3,000 acres. But that is close to the Mississippi River, some of the best farmland in the world. And their topic of conversation was how much rain we got. Water was everything. Everything. Genesis chapter 26. And you've gotten teased about what thing my wife told me that revolutionized my life. We'll get to that. That's supposed to be the hook in homiletics that gets them. Right, brother? You were talking, I don't know if they got hooked or not. We'll see. Genesis chapter 26. Isaac was the only one of the patriarchs that never left the land. Isaac's life is characterized by living in tents and by the wells. Isaac is a type of Christ. Just a type. And of course, he had a son. He's going to be the godly line, and his name is Jacob. And Isaac's father, of course, was Abraham. And you know the stories from there. We're going to begin our reading in verse 14. Let's go to 13. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. And of course, the Philistines were the people of the world that were dwelling there. Look at verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Verse 18, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. Wells were everything. If you traveled and you missed the well, you could die of thirst. Because that was what you depended on, was that well being there, and that well having water. And the Philistines had stopped up some of the wells that Abraham had dug. And Isaac and his servants decided, we're going to redig those wells, and we're going to get all that trash and dirt out of there, and we're going to make those wells again where we can use them for our flocks and our herds. And let me tell you something just to say this, is that I know that our forefathers dug some wells that have been stopped up lately, and the Philistines of our nation are starting to stop up the wells of our fathers. And I can complain about that a whole lot, except for the fact that it seems like to me that America was bought cheap with a stimulus check to stop up those wells, and those wells were dug by forefathers that gave their lives and their blood to give us our freedoms. We sold out cheap for a few dollars. And there's some of us that here that could say that we have a godly heritage. And we've got mothers and fathers and grandmothers who loved the Lord and stood by the Lord and taught us and our children the things of God. And we ourselves are allowing the Philistines in our lives to stop up those wells. And some of those wells are being stopped up with things that seem to be good. But when you carry them to excess, they stop up your wells. You see what I'm holding in my hand. No child under the age of 18 ought to have free access on the internet to one of these things. And if you're giving these phones to your children, you're out of your ever-loving mind. And the wells are being stopped up and we are allowing things to be put into wells that were being dug by godly people with the things of the world that the Philistines put in there. And we need to start realizing how important the wells of our fathers and our forefathers are to us. And Isaac first redug his father's wells. Verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Springing waters come from up above. We live in East Tennessee where there's hills. Then down below on Sharp Road, when it gets down to Emory, there's a spring that comes from all that water that's up there. My grandfather had a farm in South Alabama. There was a large clay bank about this high. And there was a hill up above that. And down below was a spring, and we called it Boiling Springs. And it would come up, and you could see it bubbling, the sand. And it was the most cool, refreshing water that we had ever gotten in our lives. And we loved it about that deep, and we had loved to get down there as close as we could to that where it was boiling up and drink that water on hot summer days, because we didn't know nothing about no air conditioning. We got a big idea one time to dam it up and make a swimming pool. And we got it about 6 feet deep. We found an old culvert for the overflow. Two of us dove in at the same time, me and my Uncle Wendell. Boom, that was the last. The dam broke and there was gone. But Boiling Springs was a wonderful thing. And isn't it great to find a well that is springing up? Man, that's good. But if you continue the reading here, it says this. Verse 20, and the herdmen of Gera did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water's ours. And he called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. And that means strife or enmity. And sometimes when you're trying to dig wells in the midst of this crowd that's your enemy and hates you, there's going to be strife and there's going to be conflict. And what you dig and what you bring up, they're going to want for themselves, and they want to push you away from it. And they dig, verse 21, another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna, which means hatred. Those people hated them. Verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And that means room. It means a broad place. Don't you like it when finally God lets you have a place where you can plant yourself and you've got room to grow and you're not striving with the enemy? I'm going to clear off a little place here for you, Pastor. Your church is your spiritual family. This is the place where you can find a well. And you can find a well where you can raise your kids in it. And I know this church. I've been here 6 years. This is a good church, Anthony.
Amen.
I want my $20. Y'all don't know, but you got some first-time visitors here that we know. It's a good place. It's your family. I got a family. You got a family? How many of y'all got a crazy uncle or a crazy aunt in your family? How many of y'all quit your family because of that lunatic? Not me. Well, you got him in his church too. I'm not looking at anybody specifically. This is your family. This is your place. This is a place where you got room to grow. This is a place where you don't have strife. Stay here. God led you here. Stay here. Quit this business of running around every time you don't like what the preacher says. And if you like everything that the preacher says, the preacher ain't preaching right. He needs to get on to you every once in a while. It's your family. This is a place. It's room. It's a place to grow. And it's a place to grow because it's got a well in it where your kids are getting something. I was just sharing with Pastor, I come from churches sometimes, and they're entertaining their kids more. And they're spiritually, they don't know biblically the foundations of things. I've been to this church. Y'all know a few things. You go to master's clubs. Anybody coming to Loving and Leading? Joe and I is going to be there for Loving and Leading. They invite me to come to Loving and Leading. I will do things about the theology of teaching, classroom discipline, things like that. And Daniel Jessup gives me those so he can get Joe. And he puts me in a little bitty classroom because hardly anybody comes. And he puts Joe in the big classrooms. And I don't know what that means. Moving along here, look at this. Verse 23, and he went up from thence to Beersheba. Now, if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 21, verse 19, we're not going to do that, but Abraham has some wells there. You can go visit those wells today. The Arabs say it's the wells of seven. But the name of it is also the wells of oaths. And this is where God and Abraham made some promises. And it's good at the well. It's good at the well to make a promise to God. And God make promises to you. And you know something? God has made some promises to his people. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my name, for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And you worship by the well. And this church can be your well for your spiritual family. It's a good place. It's a place where God can speak. And God can make promises. And you can make some commitments to God. And you should make some commitments to God. Verse 32. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged. And he said and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore is the name of the city Beersheba unto this day. And Beersheba, Sheba means oath. Promise God something. God's promised you much. Make a commitment to God. Worship by the well. Find a place with room. All right? John chapter 4. This is what Joe gave me. Pastor, if I get a little Pentecostal, no, I can't do that. Too many Baptists here. But I almost did in my own living room. My wife came in there smiling like the cat that ate the canary. And I know some of you might get this. There are times in the Bible where God says something and he has a double meaning. Like in Genesis chapter 22, when he's got Isaac and he's going to sacrifice him. And Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, son, God himself will provide himself a sacrifice. Oh, man. If any of y'all know anything about that, there's a double meaning there. Man, it's a good one. You get a hold of them little nuggets from God when you're reading your Bible because that's a living, springing water of well that springs up in my soul and speaks to me. No matter how many times I've read that passage, God will show me something in it. Oh man, it does me good. You get over there in Luke, they're on the road to Emmaus, and I believe it was a married couple. I do. It was Cleophas and his wife. That's my opinion. That's my humble but accurate opinion. Because they said, did not our heart, not hearts, burn within us. Man, you ought to have some scripture that burns in your heart. And as couples, you ought to be doing like what Joe and I do. She shares something with me. That's, yeah, honey, but look what I'm reading. And I'm in Ezekiel. She's back in Exodus. She's hopping all over the place. The woman does these stupid word studies. She got apps on her phone. I can't even run. So I always ask her, how many times is this word used? She'll tell me. She runs that rabbit to the ground. Pastor, I'm afraid she's getting a little bit ahead of me in theology. I have to calm her down. I'm going to have to go get some of them Lifeway books and get rid of that Tozer stuff. You know. And I love this story because Jesus said, look at this, John chapter 4, verse 3. And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Verse 4, I love it. And he must needs go through Samaria. Because my Lord had a divine appointment. And it's always more important who he meets than where he goes. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, he had a divine appointment with the moral man Nicodemus. That's a good chapter, isn't it? In this chapter, he has an appointment with an immoral woman. Let me tell you, there's many a moral man that's lost, and lost just as much as an immoral woman is. And everyone needs a Savior. God help us. Maybe this week there'll be a divine appointment. My wife sometimes talks about the feeding of the 5,000, which is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels. And in the book of John, there's a little phrase, and it says, there's a lad here. One day we were doing a youth camp south of Lebanon, Missouri, and I saw the kids coming down to the tabernacle, and that verse hit me. Joe showed it to me, and that hit me, and I thought, oh, Lord, there's a lad here. There's a lass coming here today. And when we first drove up, there was a little boy, a pastor's son, and he wanted to help us unload everything he had and look at everything we had. And I said, you ain't looking at nothing, boy. You keep it. But he was such a great guy, and he came. And that day, that little boy got saved because there was a lad here. God's got divine appointments for us all. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. There was a divine appointment at a well that Jacob had, that a woman had come to probably every day of her life, just like Yaovi filled up that water pot going to his well every day of his life. She went to Jacob's well. But today, look at this closely. Verse 6. Now, see there, it still got a hold of me. Now Jacob's well was there. There's a double meaning here. It says, Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. Jacob's well, the physical well, was there. But that day, Jacob's well was there. Because Jacob's well was not that physical well of water that woman drew from. Jacob's well was Jesus himself who was sitting on that well. The well was there that day. Jacob's well. Jacob's well. He said, give me something to drink. She said, this well is deep, and you ain't got nothing to draw with. And let me tell you something. Jacob's well is deep. Jacob's well ain't never run dry. When I needed a drink of that living water, in 1963, that's a long time ago, millions of others have drunk that same well, and it ain't never run dry. And just like that song, when I need something, It's deep. It ain't never going to run dry. You got a need in your life, Jacob's well is there. And that day, with a divine appointment, Jacob's well was sitting on the well, waiting for the woman. And she came. And she got a drink that changed her life. And she never got over it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to get over this. Let's read the scripture and we'll be done. The Bible says, now Jacob's well was there. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you ought to. Just saying. Now therefore Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? I'll give you an answer to that. Yes. Yes, he's greater. He's greater. Because he's the well. And that well is deep. Which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I remember that day when I had that divine appointment. It was at Meadow Lake Baptist Church. Wayne Crenshaw was preaching. I was raised heathen. We hadn't been in church but just a few Sundays. I'd heard a clear presentation of the gospel in a Sunday school class. Would have gotten saved if she'd given an invitation, but she didn't. My family had started moving from the back to the front because we was under conviction, and I was sitting with my family on the second row from the front. And that day, Jacob's well was there. God called me. I heard him not with these ears, but with spiritual ears. And a 9-year-old boy, almost 10, came down to the front. Best I knew how, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and be my Savior. And I was so glad he called me. But he was even more glad that I came. I never have gotten over that day. I never got over Joe showing me Jacob's well was there. Folks, they just gave me this little thing of water, 8 ounces. Wayne Crenshaw preached with a pitcher of water, 1 glass. Hot, no air conditioning in church. Jacob's well is here. This morning, if you've never drank from that well, if you've never tasted that living water, in a moment there's going to be a time of invitation. Pastor's going to come. This is your time to draw from that well. And let me tell you, the well is deep. And there'll be no need the rest of your life for anything else but the water that comes out of that well. And if you're here today and you've gone through a dry spell, and things have happened, maybe relationships are broken, maybe there's financial difficulties, health problems, maybe there's challenges you're facing that none of us know. There's a well that never runs dry. And you can come this morning and you can get your soul refreshed. And there's no need for a child of God to ever be thirsty because the well is deep. Let's stand to our feet. They're going to come and start the invitation. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then Pastor's going to finish. Oh God, I thank you for the patience of these dear folks to listen. And Lord, more than anything, I thank you, Lord, for the well, your dear son. God, he is the living water that we need so desperately. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, it'd be a shame for them to leave. Because Jacob's well is here right now. Lord, you may have a child that's hurting, that needs desperately to get another refreshing drink from that well. Oh God, I pray today, right now, the Holy Spirit would move and people would respond. Before I finish this prayer,